welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of romance later on from the show of the same name from 1955. But first, an episode of the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars with the story With All My Love, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from December 21st, 1948.
In homes where macaroni and spaghetti are a traditional dish, the overwhelming favorite is La Rosa. La Rosa, America's largest selling macaroni, spaghetti, and egg noodles, presents radio's greatest daytime dramatic program. The La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars.
Thank you, and greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This is C.P. McGregor speaking. Welcome to the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars, radio's greatest daytime dramatic program. Every day, a complete 30-minute drama from Hollywood. Every day, a famous Hollywood star. Today, our star is Ruth Warwick, the title of our play, With All My Love. This is a deeply romantic story of a young husband and wife who must readjust themselves after 3 years' separation. The readjustment is impaired because of the husband's complexes acquired during the separation. There are many moments of great dramatic impact and decisions. Now, Act One of With All My Love, starring Ruth Warwick as Carol Marshall. The scene, one of the less expensive apartment houses in New York's Riverside Drive. Here, with the help of her landlady, Carol Marshall is putting the final touches to the arrangement of her new apartment.
Now, that big chair, Mrs. Carpenter, it has to face towards the window.
I'll help you.
Oh, I've got it. There. Now, David can look out at the river when he sits here after dinner. Oh, and his pipe stand. I must have that.
Here it is.
Mm-hmm. That must be right at his elbow.
He certainly has enough pipes. Oh, they're all new, aren't they?
Yes, I wanted him to have new ones. Now, let's see. Oh, the flowers. They can't be on the table.
But they look lovely there, child.
I know, but... Well, David never likes flowers on a table. He says he has to look around them to see me. Kind of sweet of him, isn't it?
All right. We moved the flowers. Now what?
Well, the radio phonograph.
I hooked it up.
Oh, good. I bought a record of David's favorite song. Sort of a surprise. It's there on the mantel.
Oh, yes. That's an old song, isn't it? 3 or 4 years, at least.
Yes, I know, but... Well, you see, my husband's been away for 3 years... South America and the Orient, you know. He left just a month or so after we were married.
Oh, 3 years. No wonder you're anxious to see him. Why, that time must have seemed like forever.
It did at first. Oh, now that it's over, the years just seem like days. Oh, what time is it, Miss Carpenter?
5:45.
Oh, 15 minutes and he'll be here. I can't quite believe it.
I'm surprised you didn't go to the boat to meet him. After all, if he's been abroad...
Oh, no. We agreed to meet, in our new home.
Oh.
Oh, do you think he'll like it?
I'm sure he will.
Oh, you've been so grand helping me like this.
You know, happiness like yours is catching, child. I haven't felt so well in...
There he is. Oh, he's early. Oh, Mrs. Carpenter, would you...
I know. Naturally, you want to meet him alone. I'll go down the back way. And Mrs. Marshall.
Yes?
You're going to be very happy here. I'm sure of it.
Thanks.
Bye.
Coming.
Hello, Carol.
Oh, Uncle Charles, I didn't...
You didn't expect me, I know. But you see, I didn't forget that David was coming home today. Well, I thought it might help to have someone on hand.
Oh, but it wouldn't have... Oh, I mean, I've got to be alone to meet him, Uncle Charles.
You sure that's wise?
Very sure.
Well, it may not be easy, you know. David's a sensitive boy, Carol. What this experience may have done to him...
I know you want to help, and I appreciate it, but... Oh, believe me, everything's going to be all right.
It's up to you, Carol, but if swear if later on you change your mind and I can help in any way, you will come to me?
I will, I promise. Now...
I know, I'm going. Good night, Carol.
Good night.
You know, you look like your mother tonight, youngster. You always do when you're really happy. And right now, well, I wish you could have seen the light in your eyes at this moment.
You're sweet.
Oh, incidentally, that new dress, it'll probably show off better for David without your apron.
Oh, I forgot.
Goodbye, youngster. My best to David.
Hello, David.
Hello, Carol.
Come in, darling. Aren't you going to kiss me?
Of course.
David?
I'm sorry I'm late, darling. The train got held up somehow or other.
Oh, that's all right. Dinner's not quite ready anyway.
It's a nice apartment, Carol.
Oh, well, let me show it to you. Here, I'll take your hat.
Hmm? Oh, yes.
Look, this is your old chair, remember? I put it right here so you could see the river.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's important that I see the river.
Oh, darling, I didn't mean
it. Oh, that's all right, dear.
I hope you like these pipes.
Yeah. Yeah, they look fine.
I thought of trying to break one in for you myself, but I wasn't man enough. Oh, I started to show you the apartment. Now, you really should get your first look at this room in the morning. The sun just pours in. Well, anyway, that's what Mrs. Carpenter says.
Mrs. Carpenter?
Yes, she's the landlady. She helped me get settled. I just moved in today myself.
I see.
Well, and here's the kitchen. I asked Mrs. Carpenter how fat tenants worked in kitchens like these, and she said they didn't. They went hungry and got thin. Well, anyway, it was funny the way she said it. Well, does the place seem like home to you?
It might help if there were bars across the windows.
David.
Oh, Carol, I want to talk to you, dear.
All right, darling, but later. Dinner's almost ready now. Oh, I almost forgot. I have a surprise for you.
But, Carol, I...
Shh. Listen, David. Our song. You called it that, remember?
Did you suppose I'd forgotten?
Isn't it funny how crazy things can seem when you look back at them? That was our first date. Remember the little man with the violin? How cute he was. After that, I don't think we ever went dancing if you didn't get the orchestra to play that just for us.
What about the wedding? I even cheated you out of Lohengrin because of it. What a wedding. No guests, no veil, no orange blossoms. Just you and I and the minister standing there in the church.
And with two witnesses we'd never even seen before. And up in the loft, the assistant organist trying to play it for us on the chime. Oh, David.
Why are we pretending, Carol?
Pretending?
Yes, I shouldn't have come here. If you don't realize that, I do.
Oh, darling, what do you mean?
You've been working so that you wouldn't have time to think. Well, I haven't, darling. I've had 3 years of thinking, and I've seen what's true. There's no life for you with a murderer for a husband.
You're not a murderer.
I killed a man.
It was an accident.
I killed him. The prosecution said so, and they were right.
Darling, listen. Oh, somehow you've let it get mixed up in your mind. You were driving too fast, yes, but...
And I'd been drinking. We can't forget that.
Oh, but that was hours before the accident.
And his wife. She looked at him lying there on the road, and she screamed at me, "You killed him."
Oh, she was hysterical, David. You can't think of that now. Whatever wrong you may have done, you've paid for it. You've served 3 years. You have a right to start again. You have a right to forget.
I can't forget, darling. I've tried. I've tried, and I...
David, you're crying.
Carol, when I came in just now, I didn't kiss you, not at first, because all of a sudden I knew that things... that everything was changed.
Not between us. Nothing can change that.
It can. It has, darling. We're different people. No. No, no, I'm different. What's happened has made me different.
But that isn't any...
You can't stay married to a man who's a murderer.
Please. Please don't say such things. David, listen to me. I never came to see you up there. Not once. And that wasn't very easy. But you said you wanted it that way.
It had to be that way.
But then, when it was over, I thought we'd try to treat it as if it had never happened. That was just a crazy idea. Naturally, you'd feel strange at first. You've been alone too much.
Carol, I've got to go away.
Go away? Oh no, you can't. This is where you belong. Oh, well, as for the way you feel about us, that doesn't matter, darling. I'll stay with Mrs. Carpenter in her apartment, but I've got to be near you to help you.
It's no use, Carol. There's no future for you with me, dear.
And there's no future for me without you, David. Oh, there must be some way for you to forget. We've got to find it. It's the only chance for either of us.
The curtain falls on Act One of With All My Love, starring Ruth Warwick. Our lovely star and our distinguished cast of La Rosa radio players return for Act Two shortly. Now, Act Two of With All My Love, starring Ruth Warwick as Carol Marshall.
It will be 3 weeks tomorrow since the night David came home, but almost nothing seems changed. The idea that he's a murderer is stronger than ever in David's mind. He's built walls around itself higher than those of any prison. If only tomorrow will make a difference. Helen King is giving a dinner party, and some of our old friends will be there. David's agreed to go, and it doesn't change his mind.
Yes, again.
Are you a comedian?
Yes, Carol, I am.
Oh, David, I think we've got him.
Oh, it's a cinch, darling. But wait a minute, let me take a crack at him. Are you a very funny radio comedian?
Well, some people would say yes, but there's a guy named Fred Allen who'd probably say
no. Jack Benny.
Oh, that was swell. Let's start again.
David, you are having fun tonight, aren't you?
Oh, swell, darling.
Oh, let's not play 20 questions anymore. Let's start another game.
Well, how about indication?
Indication?
Oh, the game, David. You know, like charade. You act out slogans and quotations.
Oh, yes. Oh, say, how about coffee pot?
I know. What? A marvelous game for us to play.
What's that, Jane?
Murder.
Okay, Carol, I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
It's all right. It's late, and David, I'd better be going anyway.
No, Carol, we'll stay. Yes, and we'll play murder.
David, you're going to make it.
I'll take that trick with the ace and give you the last one.
David, a little slam. That was wonderful.
Say, Mrs. Marshall, how about swapping partners?
Well, I like that.
Oh, think nothing of it, Mrs. Carpenter. I was just lucky.
Lucky? Listen, anybody who could make a small slam on a hand like that could get away with murder.
You said, Uncle Charles. Well, I do need it now.
I know. Well, I'm no psychologist, but from all you've told me, David has an obsession about this thing. Even a casual mention of death or murder seems like a personal accusation.
Yes, and I'm afraid for him. Now he's determined to go away. Uncle Charles, what can I do?
How about going with him? Some place where there are no associations.
But he doesn't want me with him.
I'm not so sure. You've never talked to David about this guilt complex of his, have you?
Naturally not. I thought I should avoid it.
But you're wrong. The thing you must do is encourage David to put his feelings into words and then show him that they are just words and not realities.
Oh, well, you're right, of course. You're right.
Well, then it's just a matter of where to go.
David always liked the mountains. I know, the McIntyre cabin on Star Lake. It's miles from any place.
That should be perfect.
I'm sure they'd let us use it. They're not up there themselves this year. Oh, but I can't tell David that. I'll have to tell him that they are there and want us to join them.
But why?
Well, there's one thing you don't understand, Uncle Charles. You see, this barrier in David's mind even closes me out. I doubt that he'd go if he thought we were going to be alone.
Oh, Carol, child.
It's all right.
You really love him, don't you, Carol?
Mm-hmm. I do. That's why I'm going to find a way to bring him back to me.
Hello, Johnny. Jeanette. Hello. Oh, gee, that's funny. Maybe they misunderstood and drove into the village to meet us.
No, they didn't, David. The McIntyres aren't up here.
But you said...
I know I did, dear. I lied because I was afraid you might not have come. Oh, don't be angry, David, please. This is so important for you to get completely away. We can have fun together, darling. We can hike and hunt and... Oh, you love to swim, so... And, well, you can practically window.
You're trying to say that up here we can forget.
No, David. From now on, we stop trying to forget. I've been wrong, and I know it. We both have. Beginning today, we're going to talk things out.
We can.
Oh, we can, and we will. That's the one way we can ever hope to break down the wall between us, David. The only way. Uncle Charles was so right. Facing the problem is the only answer. David and I talked for hours last night, and I finally realized that there were two convictions in his mind that made him feel guilty. The first is that he broke a divine law by taking a human life. Second, that he was the cause of lifelong grief to Mrs. Parker, the widow of the man killed in the accident. I still don't know what to do about the first fixation, but I've thought of a possible answer to the second. I wrote a letter this morning to... David! David, I've got something!
Oh, it's a strike! Quick, honey, quick, reel it in. Get the hook fast in his mouth.
But I can't. The reel's stuck. Oh, here, you do it.
Hey, look out, look out!
Oh, the fish!
Oh, he's gone. Never mind the fish. Look, you be careful. A girl who can't swim has no business falling in a lake as deep as this one.
I'm afraid you're right.
Here's your rod.
Thanks. David.
Huh?
When I drove into the village this morning, I got a letter. I want to read it to you.
Yes?
It's from Mrs. Parker.
Mrs. Parker?
Listen, David. Listen to what she says. My dear Mrs. Marshall, I won't pretend this is an easy letter to write. It's not. But I do want to help with your problem. First of all, you can tell your husband that as I look back now, I realize George was at least partly responsible for the accident. He was driving too fast himself. As for my having accused your husband of murder, I'm sure you realize how hysteria can lead one to say such things. If my forgiveness means anything to Mr. Marshall, he most certainly has it. I could never say that I don't miss George, but it seems that life has a way of adjusting itself. I have found happiness again myself, and my only wish is that you and your husband will do the same. Very sincerely.
You wrote to her?
Of course I did. Oh, don't you see, dear? After this letter, you can't go on accusing yourself of ruining her life. She says herself that you haven't.
And suppose that's true. There's still one thing that neither of us can never wipe out. I took a human life, Carol. There's no forgiveness for that, no recompense. And we may as well admit, darling, there never can be.
I know the best game of all to play. It's murder.
I didn't kiss you when I came in just now. We're different people.
You've got to talk it out with him, Carol.
I've taken a life. That's something neither of us can wipe out.
You're his one hope, Carol. Perhaps his only hope.
Careful, Carol. Careful in the boat. A girl who can't swim has no business falling in a lake as deep as this one.
I can't swim.
A girl who can't swim.
I can't swim.
A girl who can't swim. A girl who can't swim. A girl who can't swim.
It's early morning. A dream woke me up just a moment ago. No, perhaps it was more than a dream. Anyway, I think now I see the answer for David and for me. as lake as deep as this one. David? David? Are you awake? Hello, in the cabin there. David?
Carol? Carol, what are you doing in that boat? Sit down.
I'm going for a swim.
Carol!
I've always heard that was the best way to learn. Dive in where it's deep and swim to shore. So here goes.
No, no, wait! Carol!
Carol, I flew up at once, as soon as David wired.
Oh, you needn't have. I'm all right now. I just tried to drink the whole lake at one gulp, that's all.
David told me. He said you were out completely by the time he got you. Carol, how did this happen? You didn't...
Where's David?
Well, he said he'd bring my bags from the car.
Uncle Charles, you said I might find the solution up here. I think I have. But you mustn't ever tell him that I...
Oh. Your things are in your room, Uncle Charles.
Oh, thank you.
And incidentally, aren't you anxious to start unpacking?
What? That's fine treatment for a guest.
Oh, you're not a guest, you're a relative. And I want to talk to my wife.
Well, never let it be said that I couldn't take her in.
David, what hospitality.
Oh, never mind him. How do you feel?
Wonderful.
Good. Then we're leaving tomorrow, back to town. I've got to get back to work.
Oh, David, David, darling.
Hello, Mrs. Marshall. Oh, gee, you gave me an awful scare.
Oh, it's so good to be in your arms again.
It's over, Carol.
Is it, David? Now can you really forget?
No. No, but I can see things as they are. And it came to me as I was driving in to meet Uncle Charles. Suppose a person had taken a life in an accident as I did. Well, then if that same person saved a life, wouldn't that sort of even things?
Well, of course it would.
You know, I'm surprised you didn't figure it out and tell me about it. Didn't you realize it?
No, David, I didn't, but... Well, then, I'm just a woman, and women never seem to see things quite as clearly as the men they love.
And so the curtain falls on the second act of With All My Love. Our star, Ruth Warwick, will be back to our La Rosa microphone in just a moment.
In homes where macaroni and spaghetti are a traditional dish, the overwhelming favorite is La Rosa. La Rosa, America's largest selling macaroni, spaghetti, and egg noodles. Only La Rosa offers all three great features. One, durum wheat semolina. Two, exclusive La Rosa slow curing. Three, enriched for extra nutrition. And you taste the delicious difference. Serve your family La Rosa Grade A macaroni tonight. Get the brand with a big red rose on each box. Get La Rosa. And remember, it's a full pound. Now here is our star, Ruth Warwick, and our producer.
That was a fine job, Ruth. How does it feel to be back in radio?
Just like home, C.P. Radio was my profession before I went into pictures, you know. And I love it.
Yes, Ruth. Actually, it was during a press party for radio people, wasn't it? When you got your first chance at pictures.
That's right. It was at a party given for Orson Welles in New York. I met him that night. Screen test was arranged, and he put me in Citizen Kane.
And a neat double play that was, Ruth. An important part for you in one of the most talked-off pictures ever to be made. And at the same time, a tribute to Mr. Welles for his excellent foresight. And after your arrival in New York, you just decided to stay and enjoy the adventures of the big city.
That's right. But then, after all, being a direct descendant of Daniel Boone, adventure's in my blood.
Well, it would seem that your career has been one grand adventure, and one which has just begun. But your fine talents as a violinist and a pianist are going to waste. Aren't you going to pursue that line of your career anymore?
Only as a hobby. You see, I like being an actress. Well, thanks, C.P., for everything. It was fun doing the show for you, and my compliments to you and the sponsor for a really fine product.
Thank you, Ruth, for the compliment on behalf of both La Rosa, our sponsor, and myself. And now, before you leave, and ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about tomorrow's play and star. Lovely Margot will be our star, and the play title, Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary. This is a bright, romantic story of a young businesswoman who believes she has a sure way to distract the attentions of wolves until she meets Super Wolf Jeff Smith. Don't miss it. So until tomorrow, then, thanks for listening, and cheerio from Hollywood.
Listen every weekday to radio's greatest daytime dramatic program. Listen to the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars. Every day, a complete 30-minute drama from Hollywood. Every day, a famous Hollywood star. Brought to you Monday through Friday by V. La Rosa and Sons, makers of La Rosa Grade A, America's largest selling macaroni, spaghetti, and egg noodles. In homes where macaroni and spaghetti are a traditional dish, the overwhelming favorite is La Rosa. This program came to you transcribed direct from Hollywood. Your announcer is Wendell Niles. Say, Mother, here's how you can add interesting variety to children's meals. Serve La Rosa Enriched Pastina. Its mild, delightful flavor blends perfectly with soups, meats, vegetables, and dairy dishes. There's a wonderful Pastina treat for every meal in the new La Rosa cookbook entitled 51 Pastina Recipes. It features many delicious, quick, and easy recipes, especially prepared to delight your child. For your free cookbook, write La Rosa in care of this station. Get La Rosa Enriched Pastina today. Don't just say Pastina, say La Rosa Enriched Pastina.
The La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars on Tuned to Yesterday, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from the 21st of December, 1948. Star Ruth Warwick spoke briefly about her landing the role as Emily in Citizen Kane, where she portrayed Charles Foster Kane's wife and alluded to radio making her feel at home. She had been a radio performer and singer on the CBS radio affiliate for Kansas City, Missouri in her youth in the 1930s, and after Citizen Kane became part of Orson Welles' Mercury Theater troupe on radio in occasional and often uncredited roles. The self-proclaimed radio soap opera buff also had dabbled in roles on those types of shows in her early days, but made a true impact in that genre on television in her decades-long role of Phoebe Tyler, a villainous character that audiences love to hate on the soap opera All My Children. You're listening to an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, the show Romance, heard on CBS on April 16, 1955, with the play Coffee and Cakes.
Now, from Hollywood, Romance.
A guy gets out of the army, and he's got to make his mark in the world. So he settles down to serious work. He's got his life all planned out. And then what happens? I'll tell you. A girl comes along and switches the blueprints on him.
So now, with Sam Edwards as Tom, we bring you transcribed John Dunkel's charming story, Coffee and Cakes.
For me, the word romance is all tied up with Mabel, a waitress at one of those chain lunch counters that was our hangout a couple of years ago. I was 22 and I figured I was allergic to romance, maybe because I'd never had any trouble finding it, or it finding me. Anyway, I had more important things to worry about, like getting started in a tough profession, the theater. I was studying at one of those drama schools, but already it was rough. My GI allotment never seemed to last out the month, and I always found myself down to the traditional coffee and cakes. Hiya, beautiful.
You forgot your glasses again. It's Selma's day off.
I mean you, Mabel, light of my life, that hangs upon the cheek of night like a rich jewel in an Ethiop's ear.
Actors. I got too many customers to stay for the performance. What did you have?
Just the juice of the Brazilian bean, love. Unless you've got some of those day-old crackers.
Again?
As usual.
End of the month, I should have known.
It's only that they have too many days, Mabel.
You kids, you think you can live on grease paint?
As of this moment, I appreciate your question. But we must learn to suffer for our art, Mabel.
Oh, suffer. Huh. Here's your coffee.
I thank you, mademoiselle.
All out of crackers, had clam chowder last night. But I'll see what I can do. Hey, Tommy, slide the sugar.
Come on up. Catch.
Hey, you're stronger than you know, lover.
My aim isn't what it was. You should have seen me the day I was...
Cut that out. The boss will raise Kane.
I do not fear your sour superior, my love.
Well, you better. He's been threatening to throw you theater kids out. Says you wrecked the tone of this joint.
Tone? Here? Well, if that's the way he feels, we might take our business elsewhere.
What business?
Yes, you have a point.
Where else could you sit for hours over one dime cup of coffee? Here, eat this.
Do my eyes deceive me, or is that a slice of lemon pie?
Ain't oysters on the half shell.
But, Mabel, I thought I made it
eat
clear.
Eat it and shut up.
But, seriously,
so maybe a customer ordered it and didn't eat it. See? It ain't been touched. Now eat.
Mabel, you've got the biggest, whitest cuff in town.
Ah, no skin off me.
Who are you kidding? With that sourpuss manager watching every move you make?
So what? He don't scare me neither. Besides, you'll pay me back someday, Tommy, when you're one of them movie stars.
That's a mighty long-term investment. Mabel, tell me the truth. How much does this charitable work cost you per month?
None of your business. Go ahead and eat.
That was Mabel, heart of gold type. Not young, not pretty, not much to recommend her. Except that heart. Romance comes easy for some like me, but hard for some like Mabel. And that's the story. It really began that day when my friend Will, with pretty little Jackie Mason in tow, joined me at the counter.
Hi, Tommy.
Greetings, Barrymore.
My dear Miss Mason... You'd better warn your disreputable companion. I may have to alter the contours of his physiognomy.
Oh, they could stand it.
I beg your pardon.
What'll it be?
Mabel, my sweet, it just so happens...
Don't tell me. Just coffee.
Yep.
Unless you might happen to have two more pieces of that luscious lemon pie, Princess, that, somebody didn't eat?
Will. Well, here's coffee, at least. I'll see.
Oh, Will, you ought to be ashamed.
Oh, I am. Deeply, sincerely. Also, I'm hungry.
Mabel's our good angel, Jackie, for actors in distress.
Oh, you two make me so mad. You know, I'd be glad to...
We've been all over that.
Oh, you'll bum from Mabel, but you won't take it from me.
There's a difference, my sweet. The camaraderie of low-income groups.
So it's a crime my family gives me enough to last all month instead of just 3 weeks?
Very inconsiderate of them. Part of an actor's education, to live fully and completely, the bitter and the sweet. Live! Like I've been telling you.
Uh-huh. Only it wasn't starving you had in mind.
Well, like I say, if you want to be a great actress...
Oh, let's ignore him, shall we?
Listen, Jackie, no need for you to stick with us on this coffee and stale crackers routine.
Sure, go on. Order a steak sandwich. We won't mind. Of course, we may drool a little.
Oh, didn't I tell you I'm on a diet?
You need to diet like Fort Knox needs gold, Jackie. If you had any better figure...
All right, down, Falstaff.
Here you are, son. You'll have to like the blueberry. There's no more lemon.
Oh, good angel. Blueberry is the nectar of the gods. I thank you. My parents thank you. My cousin Esmeralda thanks you. And most of all, my stomach thanks you.
Well, they're all welcome. Save your breath for eating. Anything for you, honey?
No, thanks, Mabel.
Okay.
Blueberry. Delicious.
Oh, poor Mabel. You crumbums.
Well, now, Sugar, look. We're very grateful. We plan to repair.
Sure. Minks and diamonds for Mabel. The minute a studio picks us up, no fooling.
I'd rather you did something for her now.
For instance?
For instance, marriage.
Oh, well. Marriage? Are you kidding, Mabel? With that face?
Will, shame on you.
Oh, but it's true. She looks so... well, sad.
Well, she is sad because she's still single. And even though she's no beauty, she's wonderful.
Oh, sorry, I'm fresh out of wedding bands.
Well, I wasn't talking about you marrying her.
Oh, Well, of course, Tom is more her type.
Sorry, old man. I promised Mother I'd marry within my own generation.
I'm talking about Elmer.
Who's Elmer?
The one she's talking to right now down at the end of the counter, her boyfriend.
That's her boyfriend?
Yes.
Well, you gotta admit, they make a pair. With that nose, he could play Cyrano without the putty.
Look, he's the only boyfriend she's got, or likely to get now.
Well, cheer up. Maybe it won't last.
That's the trouble. It has lasted 7 years so far.
The bashful type, I take it.
Or the sponger type, like some others I could name.
Touché.
One who knows when he's got a good thing. All income, no outgo.
Jackie, such harsh words. I begin to have a strong sympathy for the gentleman. He must be financially embarrassed.
He's a waiter at the Gold Cup Room where tips flow like sparkling water.
Maybe he hasn't heard that two can live as cheaply as one.
Oh, he's heard. He's just taking no chances.
Well, maybe for the best, you know. Imagine seeing that across the breakfast table every morning. Ooh. Of course, that's a two-way street.
Well, not much we can do about it, I guess.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe there is.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of this, Thomas. You better sleep on it, kitten. Smother it. Leave other people's problems to other people.
Yeah, better forget it, Jackie.
We got troubles of our own, true?
True. Give me the sugar.
No.
Tommy, they tell me you read for the lead in October Storm. Have you heard anything yet?
Yep. I'm playing the butler.
Who got it?
George Cleves.
That old ham? Well, when are they going to start giving us kids a break?
We have yet to mature, I guess.
Oh, never mind. You'll show them. Oh, Tommy, I finished Boleslavsky's sixth lesson. Do you want to borrow it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I can bring it down tomorrow. Or maybe if you want to read it tonight, you could come up to the dorm.
Well,
it's really wonderful. I got a lot from it.
Yeah, okay, good idea. Thanks. That's what I liked about Jackie. You know, she was serious, really serious about the theater. Not the silly, romantic type that's always chasing guys like me. Of course, she had her hands full repelling Will's invasion tactics, but a real nice girl. That night, I went up and got the book, and we talked for a while about the theater. And then we walked down to the hangout for a Coke. I hadn't even thought about Mabel. But suddenly, Jackie said...
Hey, I've got it.
What?
How much would an evening at the Gold Cup Room cost?
About 2,000 times what we're spending... Pardon, you're spending on these Cokes?
No, seriously, how much?
For the works, maybe 20, 30 bucks, plus tip.
Okay. I get my new allowance Thursday. You can take her Friday night, because that's her night off.
Who's her?
Mabel. Now, I'll get Al to lend you a car...
Wait a minute. Me? Mabel?
Who else?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, don't worry. Elmer will be there. That's one of their big problems. You see, he works on her night off and she works on his. She can't change and he won't. It's a big night for tips.
Now, wait a minute, Jackie. I didn't say
I... Oh, listen, you know you owe it to Mabel. Anything you can do for her, am I right?
Well, she's been great,
but... And the best thing that you could do for her would be helping her get happily married, am I right?
Maybe,
well, then don't give me any arguments. When I leave here, you're going to march right up there and ask her, do you hear me?
I hear you, but I don't believe it.
And I'll be waiting outside to see that you do it.
But, listen, I'd have to skip a rehearsal.
So skip it. You're only the butler.
Only the butler?
You're a great big hunk of man, and when Elmer gets one look at you with Mabel, why, he'll just...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Well, go on. Let's see how good an actor you really are.
We will return to romance and our story, Coffee and Cakes, in just a moment. And now for the second act of Romance.
How do I get myself into such things? Here I was about to make a reluctant bridegroom jealous by taking out a woman old enough to have penned up my diapers. Of course, I was trapped. I did owe something to Mabel. And the look in Jackie's eye was something different from anything I'd seen in a girl's eye before. Somehow a little unsettling. I couldn't figure out how. Anyway, I didn't argue with her too much. And then when she walked out and left me to face Mabel, I didn't have much choice.
Didn't I just see you sitting over there in a booth with Jackie Mason?
Yeah, Mabel, but I got rid of her. Can I talk to you?
Tommy, I got no more lemon pie or any kind of pie. It's too late. Best I can do is a salami sandwich.
Not a thing, love. You got me wrong. Big news. I got a windfall, rolling and folding.
Oh, sure.
No fooling. And now I want to repay you for all...
Oh, forget it, son. You don't owe me nothing.
I don't mean it that way, Mabel. I mean, now I can do something I've wanted to do for a long time.
I know. Eat.
I want a date with you.
Oh, sure. The fifth Tuesday in April.
Next Friday night. And I mean it. I'm going to take you to the Gold Cup Room.
Oh, cut it out, Tommy.
I was never more serious. Will you go with me?
Look, son, you don't need to do anything like that.
I told you, I'm not trying to repay anything.
But, Tommy, you're a nice boy, but I'm old enough to
be... What difference does age make?
No, wait. Are you trying to make a fool out of me?
Mabel, nothing like that. Honest. Of course, I don't mean anything serious. I just mean sincerely. I'd be honored if you'd go out with me for the evening.
Well, thank you, Tommy, but what about Jackie Mason? Wouldn't she...
Oh, Jackie, of course not. She doesn't mean a thing to me.
Well, maybe you mean something to her.
Oh, no, of course not. She's only interested in the theater.
Well, no, I'm afraid I can't make it, Tommy. Thanks a lot, but, well, I've got a steady. It's not that it would mean anything, of course, but, well, we're going to get married someday, and... No, I couldn't. Thanks, anyway.
And that was that. I have to admit I breathed a sigh of relief. But I felt a little like a heel, too. I'd come close to hamming it up and hurting her feelings. I was glad I avoided that, anyway. Well, when I told Jackie how it came out, she just looked grim and said not to give up hope yet. She had another idea. Well, I don't know what she said to Mabel, but next day when I sat down at the counter, Mabel came up, a determined look in her eye and her chin sticking out farther than usual.
Tommy, you still want to take me out Friday night?
Why... Well, sure, Mabel. Like I said.
Okay, then. It's a date.
What about your steady?
Well, it might do him some good to see other folks appreciate me, too. Especially, you did say we'd go to the Gold Cup.
Sure. Unless you want to go
someplace. Oh, no, that's fine. I'll be ready any time you say.
Like I say, I don't know what Jackie told her, but I had a pretty good idea. Only I wasn't supposed to know. The whole thing was legit on the surface, with Jackie pulling the strings from both wings. A real clever girl. She even went with Will and me down to rent a tux for the occasion. Well, after all, she was paying the bill. She might as well get a look.
Don't you look yummy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is gorgeous material, isn't it?
I was thinking more about what's filling it out.
Oh, yes.
You should never wear anything but a tux.
Don't like to travel. And some girls like me in a bathing suit.
Oh, such vanity. Well, what do you think, Will? Did he pass?
Not bad. Suppose I'd look like that?
You want the truth, dear?
Never mind.
Want to trade places with me, chum?
Uh-uh. Thanks awfully, old chap. Enjoy yourself.
And I may. You never can tell.
Just so you don't enjoy yourself too much, handsome.
Will that be all?
Oh, yes, thanks. How much altogether?
With the tie and studs and tax, $7.76.
Okay, here you are.
Out of 10. And you'll return them Saturday morning. Thank you. Just a moment.
Listen, Jackie. When I get my allotment, I'm chipping in on all this.
Yeah, me too.
Well, okay, if that's the way you want it.
We do.
For good old Mabel. After all, what's an extra week of starvation? Except death, maybe?
the big night finally came, and I played the part as directed. But it could be I was outplayed by Mabel. Anyway, the whole thing is a kind of a kaleidoscope of memories, like the departure.
Here, let me straighten your tie. Have you got the car keys and the money?
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, we've got to have that car back by 11:30, and Will and I will be at the hangout.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you all ready?
No, but I'll never be more ready.
Oh, you'll be fine. Here.
What's that for?
Good luck, Natch, on your big performance.
Then it was picking up Mabel at her little rooming house. At first, I didn't recognize her. That was Will's doing. He had borrowed the fanciest dress he could find from the theater wardrobe department. The makeup was Jackie's job, and she had performed a near miracle. For the first time, I was beginning to feel optimistic about the evening. And then we arrived at the Gold Cup room.
Monsieur, madame.
Evening. Thompson, reservations for two?
Of course. Right this way, sir.
Hey, will you get a load of that guy?
Real ham, huh?
Yeah.
You looking for someone?
No, just gawking. Some joint, huh?
Not bad. I've never been here before.
Oh, haven't you? Who am I kidding? Neither have I.
Madame.
Huh? Oh, thank you.
Monsieur, do you want to order now?
No hurry, thanks.
Monsieur.
You don't suppose,
What?
Nothing. Well, not much like the old lunch counter, is it?
But you look right at home, Princess. A perfect jewel in its proper setting.
Oh, Tommy, come off it. But I do thank you for this beautiful corsage. You didn't have to do that.
The works tonight, nothing but the best.
But I keep thinking about how many pieces of lemon pie it'd buy.
Never mind. Live for tonight. Let tomorrow take care of itself. That's what I always say.
And you're right. Let's get the biggest...
What's the matter?
Nothing. I just thought I saw someone I knew.
Anyone I know?
No. It's that waiter.
Oh, the one coming this way with the big tray of food?
Yeah.
An old friend?
Well, kind of. Maybe, if you don't mind, I'd better say hello.
Oh, of course. I'll call him over. Oh, waiter.
Yes, sir.
The lady wishes to speak to you.
Madame.
Good evening, Elmer.
After that, the evening got hectic, and I don't remember too much. Elmer was so shocked and so mortified by the accident with the tray that later, when we saw him working across the room, his face was still white and sick-looking. However, Mabel played it like a cornel. She was magnificent. But the climax came when we got back to the hangout. Mabel couldn't resist showing off in front of the gang.
Oh, Mabel, you look just lovely, doesn't she, kid?
Oh, sure does.
I guess I didn't know I had it in me myself. But you know...
Uh-oh, here comes trouble.
Oh, why, Elmer, what brings you here?
I came to say just one thing. Young man, what are your intentions toward this lady?
Intentions? Why, I haven't got any.
As I suspected. Just because you're young and good-looking and wealthy and an actor, you think you can trifle with another man's fiance. Well, I'll show you...
Wait a minute now.
Elmer,
wait.
Stop! Oh, Elmer!
You love me.
Come on, Mabel. You're getting out of this place.
But, Elmer...
For good.
Did you say for good?
We're getting married tonight. Now, you coming?
Oh, yes, Elmer. I'm coming. Tommy, baby. Darling, are you hurt? Did he hurt you?
Oh, I don't know. What was it, a right cross?
Oh, sweetheart. I didn't think he'd really do anything.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
I said, sweetheart. Is that such a surprise?
I don't know. I'm not real sure I'm awake yet. But, you know,
I just thought of something.
What, darling?
If Mabel's gone, who's going to feed us? On the cuff.
Well, don't think it wasn't a problem for a while. But it worked out just like Jackie figured. Now, once in a while, I see Mabel around town with Elmer. I guess she's pretty happy. He and I never speak, but Mabel's smile is all the thanks I need. Well, as I say, this happened a couple of years ago, and since then I got a contract with a studio. Nothing great, no filet mignon every night, but at least the coffee and cakes are steady. That way we don't have to borrow anything from Jackie's folks. Oh, yes, I found out what that look in her eye was all about. She married me.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald, with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You have heard Coffee and Cake, specially written for Romance by John Dunkel, starring Sam Edwards as Tom. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan and Eleanor Tannen, with Lee Millar, Edgar Barrier, Joseph Cranston, and Dolores Pinar. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at the same time.
Romance on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from April 16, 1955. And that does it for this hour of Romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.